Morning, everybody. Great to see you, and welcome to our first 9 a.m. of our new session. Glad to see you awake and well, I trust. And we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Next Sunday morning, we're starting a new teaching series. We're coming to the book of Revelation. We're going to be looking at the letters of Jesus Christ, the seven churches, and Revelation chapter 2 and 3. I think a really exciting and challenging and relevant sermon series, which I think God will speak to us powerfully through. But that's next Sunday. So let me check, first of all, that when you arrived in this morning, you got two pieces of paper. Okay, you've got a piece of paper that's got some blue lines on the front of it, okay, which says at the top of it, Team Talk, Identifying Our Spiritual Gifts. Have you got one of those? If you haven't, stay up your hand. Andrew's moving seamlessly through the aisle. And the other piece of paper that you've got has on the front of it, Spiritual Gifts Inventory. Okay, so we'll just make sure everybody's got two pieces of paper before we begin. This morning we're coming back to this theme of team talk. I don't know if any of you were here for our all-age service at the end of July. It was sort of the last service we had before we broke off for the summer and lots of people headed off in all kinds of different directions. And we had good fun on that Sunday morning, lots of interaction with each other. And we thought about some of these questions, what makes a good team, what makes a good team player. We even dared to have a tug of war that went right down the middle of this aisle, so that we can actually see for ourselves what happens when people pull together in the same direction. That was a bit of fun as well. And so we're coming back to this theme of team talk. I'm going to pick up in some ways where we left off at the end of that service. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. I know different sometimes makes us think, should I be afraid of what's going to happen next? I hope not. What we're going to do sort of symbolically this morning, this is the start of a new term, it's a new session, it's a new chapter, it's a new beginning, if you like, is we're going to form a team huddle. Do you know what that is? If you're not sure what it is, here's a picture on the screen. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to do this morning, okay? But symbolically, okay, I want you to imagine as we move through the first part of our service, that's what we're doing with each other this morning. We're putting our arms around each other. We're going to encourage each other as we get into a new session together. We're going to say we're in this together. So symbolically, even though we mightn't be doing it, okay, I want you to have that picture in your mind, because it's fairly common, isn't it, in sporting scenes. You see people having this sort of really important conversation, perhaps in the middle of a match or at the end of a match, where the manager or the team leader brings everybody together and they talk about what's coming next and what they need to do. That's what we're going to do this morning in a picture kind of way. But coming back to this vision which God has given to us as a church, helping people follow Jesus. That is what we're about. That is our heartbeat. That is what we believe God has called us to do. And so we're going to come back to this vision this morning, come back to what it is that God has asked us to do as a church, this sense of purpose and vision and direction. Now, I don't know about you, but when I come back off holidays, I sometimes get the holiday blues. Maybe you're not like me, of course, and maybe you just sort of sail back into ordinary life. But I find it really hard, actually, the first few weeks after I come back from holidays. It's good to relax, and it's good to unwind. And it's sometimes hard to get going again at the beginning of a new session. And then what happens? Well, all of the routines kick into life again. If you live anywhere around here, the schools have all gone back, and you can't get from A to B in the same length of time it took you during the summer. And it's a bit of a nightmare. And if you're a grandparent, perhaps you're back on duty with your grandchildren again, and the pace of life picks up. And before long, you find yourself swept along with the busyness of life. And the same can be true of church life. And sometimes it's good for us to pause and to think again about what it is that God has called us to do. And that's what we're going to do for a few minutes together this morning. We're going to head back into God's Word together, what Joel read for us a few minutes ago. We're going to listen to some team talk from God's Word. And then we're going to do something practical together. We're going to actually take a few minutes to fill in one of those pieces of paper which I've given to you. Now, don't look at it yet, okay? Temptation is there. But that's where we're going to go, and that's what we're going to do together this morning. The Bible has some wonderful ways of describing God's family. I'm sure we've all got our favorites. There's the description of, even the children get into this, actually. I forgot about this photograph here. So don't be alarmed about what we're doing this morning. And if the kids can do it, we can probably do it too. But living stones, lovely description of the Church of Jesus Christ, isn't it? That you are the living stones if you're a follower of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's the one who locks it all together. Lovely picture of the Church of Jesus Christ.
Or there's the picture of the bride of Christ, that wonderful image of the bride of Christ being prepared for, in a sense, for new creation and the return of Jesus Christ, and that lovely future pointing picture of the church as the bride of Christ. Then there's the church as a family. I love this picture. Church is not something you go to, it's a family that you belong to. It's a lovely image of the church of Jesus Christ, isn't it? But the one that we're going to come back to this morning is the understanding of the body of Christ. I love this photograph I found during the week of some children just lying down and forming a body. So you stand back from it, the body is made up of individual people, but you get a sense of the shape of the body. And of course, the Bible says to us, doesn't it, that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. And we're going to come back to this theme of the body of Christ this morning. This powerful picture that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I want to encourage you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to do a little bit of team huddle as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. We are, in a sense, going to put our arms around each other this morning. We want to encourage each other. We want to listen to the team talk for 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that Paul gives us in these opening chapters. And then I'm going to do a bit of practical work together. Let me just say something about this church in Corinth just for a few moments by way of context. This was a highly gifted church, but it was a highly dysfunctional church. It was all over the place. And part of the reason that it was all over the place is that people were using the gifts that God had given to them in the wrong way. Lots of people were using their gifts so that they would look good, so that the spotlight would shine on them. Some of them were competing against each other. And others with lesser gifts were being ignored, and they were being marginalized and being pushed to the very edges of church life. And Paul takes this fantastic illustration of the body and says, no, here's the team talk. Here's what God has designed his church to look like. So I thought, well, this is a good place to come to, isn't it, at the beginning of a new term. To come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to come back to this team talk that Paul gives the Corinthian church, particularly in relation to gifts. And there's some important things that Paul says in this passage as he tries to bring the church back together, and as he tries to encourage them to use the gifts that God has given to them. There's six things, very briefly, that I want us to listen to this morning as Paul talks to the Corinthian church and, in a sense, talks to us through the Corinthian church as well. So here's the first part of the team talk this morning. Shall we read it out loud together? We belong to the body of Christ. Now, verse 13, Paul says, we were baptized by one Spirit into one body. Paul's talking about the experience of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. He says, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're on the team. Now, I've used this illustration before, I think, it doesn't always paint me in a great light, but I can remember in primary school, that horrible sensation where teams are chosen in the playground. I was never very good at football. And I can remember even now standing here what it felt like as people were sort of pointed to each team, and there'd be sort of one or two of us who weren't very good at the end, and maybe somebody would say, well, you have him. And that would often be me. You have him. It's not like that on God's team. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, he loves you. He died for you so that you could belong to him. He will never leave you feeling like you don't belong. You are part of the body of Christ. Okay, this is the first part of the team talk. Here's the second thing that Paul says in this passage this morning. He says to us, we are all different, okay? Let's say that out loud together. We are all different. Verse 14, the body is not made of one part, but of many. If you don't believe him, have a little look around this morning. Really? Just have a little look around. We are all different. I don't see two people looking that similar this morning. We've got any identical twins with us, I don't think so. But Paul says in verse 14, the body is made up of not of one part, but of many parts. We've all got different gifts and abilities. It's one of the beauties about the body of Christ, isn't it? I love to see what happens during the course of the week here and see the way the different gifts and abilities are being used by God. It's a real encouragement. We are made up of different people. Second part of the team talk is the third part that comes in verse 18, where Paul says to us that God has arranged the parts of the body just as he wanted them to be. In other words, there's this interdependence. Third part of the team talk, we all need each other, okay? Let's say it out loud together. We all need each other, okay? Just remember that picture of putting our arms around each other this morning. We're here to encourage each other at the start of a new session. Paul uses three illustrations in this passage. Verse 15, he talks about the foot saying to the hand, well, you know, I don't particularly want to be a foot, you know. I'm not going to be part of the body. Paul says, isn't that how the body works? If you're a foot, you're a foot. If you're a hand, you're a hand. Similar sort of illustration in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye. Well, not particularly balanced body if the whole body's an eye, is it? Verse 21, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. There's this wonderful picture of interdependence when Paul uses this body illustration, this interdependence picture, which demonstrates to us that we all need each other. So Paul is saying to this, as part of his team talk to the church in Corinth. Number four, we all need to pull together, says Paul. Just look at these verses in verses 25 and 26. Paul's saying there should be no division in the body. All the parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, each part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. One of the experiences this week was sensing what happened when we were praying for Linda having her operation. Lots of us came here in the morning on Friday morning and we prayed for Linda's operation. Because we feel the suffering of one another. So we've been praying for Jenny this morning. Because that sense in which the body of Christ needs to pull together in the same direction, that we need to know that we need each other and that there should be no division and that we should have that ongoing concern for each other. I don't know about you, if you're sort of got this team huddle idea in your mind this morning, we're standing with our arms around each other, that's a wonderful piece of truth to come from God's word this morning, isn't it? And to know that. Now, that's what God wants for his church, what God wants for his family. We need to pull together. Team talk, advice number five. We all have a gift to use. Just move back up in this passage to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Paul says something very important here. He says to each one, each member of the body of Christ, that's you, that's me if you're a follower of Jesus here, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Then Paul goes on to begin to describe the kinds of spiritual gifts that God has given to his church. There's no comprehensive list of gifts in the New Testament. There's just lots of illustrations of the kinds of gifts that God has given to his church. The back of the handout that you've got, if you just flip it over, don't start reading it all the way through, but take it home with you, you'll see there's a list of some of the gifts that God has given to his church. There'll be definition at the top of that handout which I've given you. A spiritual gift is a God-shaped special ability given to every believer at conversion by the Holy Spirit to share his love and strength in the body of Christ. And what Paul is saying to us is this: if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift that God has given to you. And in a few moments we're going to pause and we're going to see if we can get a kind of snapshot of our church this morning, both in this service and in the next service, of what that gift is that God has given to us. Each one of us has been given a spiritual gift. And here's the last part that Paul, the last thing that Paul says in this passage that we're going to pick up this morning, because it's equally important. He says we need to use our gifts for the benefit of others. That was really important advice into the Corinthian church, because people were competing with their gifts. They were saying, well, if my gifts aren't recognized, and I'm going to, you know, that sort of kind of language. Are my gifts more important than yours? And Paul says, no, he says, God has given to every member of the body a spiritual gift, which is not to be used for our own benefit, but is to be used for the common good. Look at verse 7. What does Paul say? It's very clear here, isn't it? This is a powerful message to the Corinthian church. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So let's come back to that picture of the team huddle, shall we, for a moment. So Paul's doing in this chapter, in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, he's putting this church in Corinth together, which is kind of all over the place, and saying you need to understand that the church is like a body. It needs to function in the way that a human body is designed to function, that sense of interdependence with each other. And he gives them a little bit of team talk. And we picked up just six things out of this passage, and then we're going to come and do something practical in just a minute. But let's get hold of this morning from God's word. This is really important. So I want you to imagine again for the moment that we are sort of huddling together, that we're encouraging each other as we move into this new term together. And here are the things that are coming out of God's word for us this morning. And we're going to read them out loud because we're saying them to each other, to encourage each other. So let's do that, shall we? Here's the first one. Number one, ready? We belong to the body of Christ. Number two, we are made up of many different people. Number three, we need one another. Number four, we need to pull together. Number five, we all have a gift to use. And number six, we use our gifts for the benefit of one another. Really important from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. One of the key things that Paul says in this passage is that each of us have been given a gift to use. Verse 7, back in verse 7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given. I don't know about you, but when someone gives me a gift that's been wrapped and presented to me, and I'm sure the experience is the same for you as well, and someone's taken the trouble to do that and give you a gift, and it's beautifully gift wrapped, there's a sense of anticipation, isn't there? As you begin to unwrap that gift, you think, well, I wonder what it is. And in a sense, that's what we're going to do for the next couple of minutes together this morning. We're going to have a bit of unwrapping of our gifts. Many of you in our church family probably know well what your gifts are. That's great. But it may well be that some of us have never really stopped to think about this very much. We might sort of think of ourselves on the margin of church life, and that perhaps we're not important, or we don't belong, or we can't be involved. Paul says to us, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got a gift that can be used, not just for your own benefit, but for the building up of the body of Christ. So that's where we're going to go for the next few minutes. So we're going to take a few minutes to unwrap our spiritual gifts. Last year we launched a new kind of ministry model for our church. I'm sure some of you have seen this picture. The leadership team working really hard behind the scenes. The appointment of Andrew is another key step towards this new ministry model. We're trying to group the various ministries of our church together to have a more coordinated and strategic approach to what God has called us to do as we help people to follow Jesus Christ. That model is biblically based. It's not just simply a good idea. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 4. And here it is. This is the task of church leaders and teachers, is to prepare God's people for works of service. Why? Here's the link to 1 Corinthians 12. So that the body of Christ may be built up. And that's why we're going to come and pause for a few minutes this morning and try and get a snapshot of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us as a church. So now, you can turn to that second piece of paper. Okay, if you can sort of put your eyes forward for a minute, okay? We're going to do two tasks together. They're not going to take us a long time to do, but the first task is essentially this. We want to try and get a snapshot this morning of what you think your spiritual gift is. And you've got a survey in front of you. It's very brief. I understand that. So this is just a snapshot. But for those of you who are particularly keen in digging into this in more detail, for the really keen people this morning, I've got another questionnaire at my feet, which you can take away with you this morning, okay? The one we've got in front of us has 19 questions. This one has 100, okay? But if you really want to kind of dig into this, and I would encourage you to have a think about that, do it and bring it back. This morning is a snapshot. So what you have in front of you this morning is just an attempt fairly quickly to have an understanding of what it is that God may have gifted you in. And there are 19 questions here, and I'm going to read them out. And I'm going to ask you simply as we go through each one of them, just to tick beside it. You'll see there's three options. There's no right or wrong answer. This isn't an exam, okay? Often, sometimes, rarely. Okay, I want you to put a tick in each of those boxes, each one of those boxes, or the one that most relates, rather, to the right answer as far as you're concerned. So, for example, if you enjoy singing or playing a musical instrument, it's going to be pretty easy for Phil and Naomi here this morning on this first one, isn't it? With a group of fellow Christians, regardless of what that style of music may be. If that's you, you put a tick in either often, sometimes, or rarely. Okay, is that fairly straightforward? So let's do that one first, shall we? Then I'm going to move us through this fairly quickly, okay? So really what answer comes straight to your mind, answer it accordingly, okay? Number two, I find it rewarding to teach people about God's love and our Christian faith. Number three, I'm confident in God's guidance as I make important decisions. And the next one, I have fun working with my hands at various arts and crafts. I know how I'd answer that one, hopeless. But for some of you, that may be often, that may be sometimes, or like me, probably rarely. Not good on that one at all. The next one, I am joyful about sharing my material things with others. Is that something that just resonates with your heart and say, yeah, that's me? Next one, but hospitality. I enjoy making guests feel comfortable where they are in my home or at my church. Next one, I'm able to share words of encouragement, comfort, or cheer with other people. Maybe that's something that God's gifted you to do. Next one's about caring for others in a spiritual sense. I find it natural to show care and concern for small groups and individuals. Is that something which resonates with you? Is that something often? Next one's about sharing faith. I feel comfortable about talking with other people about spiritual things and enjoy sharing my faith. Next one, I enjoy helping and working with people during illness or problems. Back to craftsmanship, I enjoy my skills to build or repair things. Well, my answer is rarely, but yours might be often, and that's how God uses us, isn't it? Next one, I'm glad to assist others when asked to help. Next one, I see what needs to be done, and I take responsibility for doing it. It's the gift of serving. Next one, I love, here's the administrators amongst you, here's what we were praying about Andrew a few minutes ago. I love attention to detail, organization, and planning. I really don't like it, but some people love it. Okay, moving on. I'm able to see the big picture. I'm able to set goals according to God's purpose and help others to accomplish them. There's a God sort of gifts you in the area of leadership. Those have been gifted with the gift of intercessory prayer. I know that God hears and responds to prayer. I love praying for others. Some people have a real heartbeat for praying for other people. Perhaps you're able to teach the Bible to others. The next one, my study of the Bible has proven helpful to help others in their faith journey. Second last one, when challenges are presented, I can often see a way through and identify solutions. The gift of wisdom. And for those of you who have the gift of writing, expressive writing, wonderful gift, this one. I enjoy putting my thoughts and ideas into clear and inspiring written form. So there's our first task. We've got one more task to do. Let me say some really important things about this before we do this next task together, okay? The first thing I want to say is you are not signing up to something, all right? You're not signing up to something. This next task is to see if there is an area of church life that resonates with you, okay? So the new models on the screen behind me here, and what you have on the sheet is a reflection of that. So we've got mission, pastoral care, seniors, youth, children support, administration, fellowship and prayer, and community. What we're going to do just for a few minutes is just, if this, have a look through this sheet. If there's something that resonates with you, some area of church life that you're interested in, and we've spelled this out in a little bit more detail, just in a few moments, indicate no more than two areas. Remember, you're not signing up to something this morning, okay? And if there's something not there that you think that God is really inspiring you to explore or to develop, another area of ministry, because this is a flexible model, the space at the end of this form to add anything else that might interest you, okay? So, we just say one thing finally. I know sometimes that people in church life, certainly as people get older, people think, well, there's not really much I can do because physically I find it difficult to get around, or illness is a real problem for me. Never ever underestimate the power of prayer and praying for other people. That's one of the areas that's reflected in this. There is something for all of us to be involved in. I just want to wrap up by saying a few things by way of conclusion this morning. I want to go back to where we started, really, to that team talk from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as I said to you, we had that sort of sense of wanting to sort of put our arms around each other as we move into this new session together. And Paul has some important things to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about encouraging each other. And so that's where I want us to end this morning, by just recapping the six things that we discovered this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Sort of symbolically this morning, putting our arms around each other, of encouraging each other by repeating again the lessons that we've learned from this passage. So let's do that, shall we, as we listened in on Paul's team talk this morning. I hope this encourages you as well as you listen to what Paul was saying to the church in Corinth. So let's say them out loud together again, shall we? Number one, we belong to the body of Christ. Number two, we are made up of many different people. Number three, we need one another. Number four, we need to pull together. Number five, we all have a gift to use. And number six, we need to use our gifts for the benefit of others. So let's come back to this concept of team talk, this picture that we've been using this morning of just being together as the people of God. People have expressed that togetherness in lots of different ways. There's a different way. Sometimes we put our arms around each other. Sometimes everyone puts their hand in, as they do on this photograph, and say, yeah, we want to encourage each other. We want to journey together. We want to get on with what's coming next. And there are all different ways that we can express that sense of togetherness. And I want to suggest, as we conclude this morning, as we come back to the vision that God has given to us, that we reaffirm together this morning our desire to follow Jesus as we move into this new term together. I came across a very challenging prayer that the Methodist Church often uses. Some of you might be familiar with this prayer. It's called a covenant prayer. I printed it out on the end of the notes that you received, the note sheet that has the blue lines on it, if you want to have a look at the bottom of that, because it's a significant prayer. But it struck me as I was preparing this week that this could be a really good place for us to finish this morning. You've got it in front of you. I'd like you to read it before we actually use it together this morning. But it's a lovely way of just saying to one another and to God, I'm serious about following Jesus as we move into this new term, wherever that journey may take us. This is a powerful prayer because it says, God, there may be times when I'm in a difficult place, and that's part of your plans and purposes for me. There may be times when I feel empty. There may be times when I feel full. There may be times when things are going well. But there's one little phrase in this prayer that really stands out for me, and you can see it towards the end. It says, and now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and here it is, you are mine, and I'm yours. And that's where I want us to end this morning, with that sense of knowing that we belong to the family of God. You are mine, and I am yours. This is a powerful prayer, and I'd love us to say this prayer together as we conclude this morning, as we move into this new term together, in a sense putting our arms around each other symbolically and saying, we're in this together, we're walking together into this next term. Let's recommit our walk of faith before God this morning. Let me read it out and then we'll say it as a prayer together, just to make sure that we know what these words are that we're praying. I am no longer my own but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you. Let me be laid aside for you. Exalted for you. Brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. The prayers of John Wesley. Powerful prayer, isn't it? But a wonderful way of recommitting our lives to following Jesus. As we put our arms around each other this morning, as we step forward into this new week and this new term. If this prayer is appropriate for you this morning, maybe you join with me as I pray it out loud. Let's pray together. Join with me as this prayer is part of your expression this morning. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Joel, thanks.